be very aware and be very careful if you sign anything associated with REITs that you understand what happens if you need to get at that money. Welcome back to Women Creating Wealth, a show where we're showing you how to have more money, more options, and more fun. Awesome. So today we're continuing our series. If you missed it, go back a couple episodes, I think 3 episodes. We started talking about ways to get involved in real estate investing as a beginner, like entry level stuff, things that you can do with either not too much money or not too much knowledge or not too much time. Those are sort of the 3 variables. So today we're going to talk about real estate investment trusts, also known as REITs. Real estate investment trusts, you can think of them as like a mutual fund, but all the holdings inside that mutual fund are physical pieces of real estate. Now, first I have to say, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not advising you to get involved in REITs or anything else like that. I just want to educate you. I personally don't even like REITs for myself, but that's not that's not relevant, because why we're here is just to give you some information about one way to diversify your portfolio, your money, with a real estate investment trust, which is a way that you can get involved in holding real estate without really doing any work. Once you've done the research to choose the REIT, then you just sit back and hopefully just collect the profits. And that's the way they work. So a REIT is a company that owns and operates income producing real estate. Now, there are a lot of different types of REITs, and you really want to do some research and find one that kind of matches with what you think is growing, with your philosophy, whatever. For example, one of the REITs is a gaming REIT. So if you don't believe in like gambling, if you don't think that like those kind of entertainment style properties are something that you're interested in, then you wouldn't want to get involved in a gaming REIT. There are office REITs, obviously working in office buildings. So you might say, oh, this is a great time to get involved in office REITs because they're kind of probably undervalued. Or you could say, this is a terrible time to get involved in office REITs because people are giving up their offices. There are industrial REITs. So think of them as like ones that own really big manufacturing type or, sorry, industrial type buildings like warehouses, distribution centers, things like that. There are retail REITs, which obviously are for managed real estate spaces to like those would be like malls. Those would be sometimes they're big box stores, grocery stores, things like that. So it's important to sort of understand that a lot of these big companies don't want to be in the real estate business. They would much rather lease their space from somebody else who handles everything and they just pay all the bills. So that's why there are even investors. So for example, you go to Home Depot, they probably don't own the land that they're sitting on. They probably, somebody else owns that land and they are just leasing it from someone else. So they don't have to worry about, I don't know, whatever it is that you have to worry about if you have property, but, but that's a decision that different types of corporations make. There are also lodging and resort REITs. So maybe you would like that. Maybe you could say, oh, I'm going to go visit one of my properties that's in my portfolio, in my REIT, and maybe I can even do that as a write-off. I have no idea. There are residential REITs, which are obviously residential rentals. They're what they're called timberland REITs, which own different types of basically forests. And they lease those rights, like the logging rights, for example. They lease the logging rights to somebody. There are healthcare REITs, self-storage REITs, telecommunications REITs, data center REITs, and then diversified REITs, which have some of the hats in all these different areas. And there are specialty REITs, and there are REITs that only that hold mortgages. So if that makes sense, like back in the day, so you can have some companies bundle their mortgages and they'll sell them to a third party, like a mortgage REIT. So what makes a REIT a great choice for a beginner? Well, like I said, once you've done the research and chosen the REIT you want, you're basically done. And then you just turn over the money and collect hopefully some profits. REITs are passive income. You can't get involved with them. You can't go and say, hey, you know what? We think this place needs to be painted and then you could get more rent. It's not you. It's completely passive income. And it's ideal for people who don't have the time or the desire or the knowledge or whatever to do any type of active real estate investing. It's low cost. So you don't have to, like, if you, instead of buying a building, you could buy a REIT for, I mean, they all vary, but maybe you could put like $5,000 into a REIT. Well, for $5,000, you're obviously not going to get a building, but you can get a share of a portfolio of buildings owned by this REIT. So that's one good thing about a REIT. They are a way just to basically diversify your investment portfolio. So if everything else you have is in stocks, REIT is basically a stock, but it follows the trends of the real estate market. They are different from the stock and stock market because for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is this is confusing in this blog. Before you invest in a REIT, you really want to, before you invest in any REIT, you want to do your research. You should focus on publicly traded REITs. So you can buy these with your Vanguard account or with your, you know, Merrill Lynch account, whatever. And then look at their track records. Do they have a good track record of paying dividends? Because that's basically what you want them for, is to get that income stream. And then look at them, the sector they're in and what you think, what the analysts think or whoever thinks about the anticipated growth of that particular sector, the dividends they're paying, their history of paying dividends, and then where they get their money before you make a decision of which REIT to buy. And then, I think really you want to get some professional advice, hopefully from a certified financial planner who is not just getting paid by the fund company to suggest a specific type of thing. So REITs are, I mean, you can think of them as a great entry level way for a beginner to get involved in real estate investing and and to diversify their portfolio with real estate. But owning a REIT is not necessarily going to teach you anything and get you ready to be a real estate investor in another way. You'd have to really do a deep dive on the fund, on why they decided to buy the specific stocks that they decided to buy, and, you know, things like that. It's not like this is like, oh, this is a great way to now turn around and become a real estate investor. I would argue that that's probably not the case. But they are good for if you're looking for the benefits of real estate investing without actually owning it. They should generate solid returns with low risk. And again, you have to look at the history. These are just like a stock, but they tend to be, because they're big brick and mortar, they tend to be a little more stable than, you know, maybe a stock that is based on a sector that could turn. But, you know, I mean, the thing about real estate, it goes up and down. It just does it more slowly. So hopefully if you're tracking your portfolio, you recognize, gee, this fund is losing money and, you know, maybe I should get out of offices and go into self-storage or something like that. Anyway, now you need to understand the risks of investing in REITs. And I'm not even going to tell you that I'm going to cover every single risk that could possibly happen when you're getting ready to invest in a REIT. But one of the problems is that there are, unless you're holding this REIT in a tax deferred retirement planning account, like an IRA or like a 401k or something like that, you are going to have taxes every time something inside that REIT moves, just like a mutual fund. You know, they might sell one property and you might have capital gains, even though the value of the REIT might have gone down that year. So that's the same sort of irritating thing that can happen with a mutual fund. So you need to understand that there are going to be, you know, it might be a nightmare for you to do your tax if you have a REIT that you're just holding from in a regular investment account. REITs are particularly sensitive to interest rate changes, not so too surprisingly. So if you have a REIT that is leveraged, so it has lots of debt, and maybe there are some variable rates in there, then that they could be in danger of not being able to pay the dividends that they've been paying historically. So keep an eye on those sorts of things. And you should be able to learn by researching that REIT, if they have debt, how much they have. Some REITs don't have debt, so that could be a good choice, potentially. And then, of course, I went over at the beginning all the many different sectors and markets that REITs get involved in, and they all have different volatility cycles. They all have different risks. So you want to be very aware of that when you're investing in a REIT. When you think of a REIT, you have to think of it as a long play. It's the long game. It's a long-term focus. Just like, you know, if you're going to buy real estate and not fix it up, it doesn't make sense to buy it and sell it and buy it and sell it and buy it and sell it, right? In this case, you're not fixing that REIT up. You can't do anything with it. You're going to hold it, and you're going to hold it for a long time. And sometimes that's a requirement. There are some REITs, right? They're publicly traded ones. You can hop in and out of if you want. And there are also ones where you have to get in there for a specific amount of time. So a smaller REIT that has less property, they might want you to get in when they're buying the property, and then you wouldn't be able to get out again until they sold the property. So be very aware and be very careful if you sign anything associated with REITs that you understand what happens if you need to get at that money. So that's basically it for real estate investment trusts from me. You can learn a lot more by talking to a financial planner or by researching it online. I'm sure there's tons of stuff on places like Bigger Pockets and places like that where they might tell you about real estate investment trusts. Join us next week. We're going to keep going on our deep dive talking about real estate investing and ways for beginners to get involved in it. In the meantime, have a fabulous week.